You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You're listening to a special interview in anticipation of the 2013 Just Food Conference. Just Food connects communities with the resources and support they need to make fresh, locally grown food accessible to all New Yorkers. Just Food also has a food justice program that increases awareness and action around food and farm issues and advances policies for a thriving local food system. The 2013 Just Food Conference will take place on Friday, March 29th and Saturday, March 30th. For more information and tickets, visit justfood.org.
All right, thank you for tuning in. We are continuing our upcoming coverage for the Good Food Jobs Fair, and today we are on the line with the visionaries behind Good Food Jobs, Dorothy and Taylor. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Erin.
Thanks, Erin.
Well, so it's great to have you on, and I definitely want to tuck into the Good Food Jobs get-together that you'll be hosting on Friday the 29th. But before we get there, maybe we should start with just a little bit of an overview of what Good Food Jobs is. If Taylor, maybe you want to take us through it?
Sure. So Good Food Jobs is, at the heart of it, an online job search engine devoted to linking people looking for meaningful food work with the opportunities available. But even more than that, we're just a community for people who are interested in working with food to really be able to come together and establish what that means. So in common culture, a lot of times people say, oh, you want to work in food, so that must mean you want to own a restaurant or work in a kitchen. But the opportunities are much more varied than that. Anything from working on farms with food artisans, working as entrepreneurs or ecologists or economists, and how that all links with food. So we're kind of like a clearinghouse for this information and bringing people together.
Nice. And you guys have done a great job. You know, we've subscribed to your newsletter for a long time of kind of giving job seekers some of the really basic tools they need as they look to find a job in this field. And so I was excited to see that you're going to be hosting a get-together at the conference. Dorothy, why don't you take us through what folks can expect and how they can get signed up?
Yeah, so last year we actually hosted a Good Food Jobs Fair. Some people might remember that. It was a really great event. It was sort of a more traditional event in the sense that people had tables and were there to meet with people. People brought resumes, and those who were looking for employees were ready to talk to people about openings at their particular organizations. And we had a lot of great folks come out for that. It was actually a sold-out event, and some of the biggest complaints we got were about people who weren't able to get in, even though we tried so hard to get them in. But we also learned a lot from that event in terms of what we wanted to try to be able to bring to the table for people to make connections, not just to make a connection about one specific job that might or might not be available, but to really help people sort of hone their networking skills and learn how to be better communicators and make better connections with people in short periods of time. So what we're hosting is we're calling it the get-together, and it's really kind of like a cocktail hour in a basic way. There's going to be light beverages and snacks, all local, of course. And we're going to be doing, we're sort of modeling it on the speed dating method, which is going to be like introducing different topics for several different five-minute sessions. And then we're going to prompt people to talk to people that they've never met before based on that particular topic. So if you're nervous about not knowing what to say, we're going to give you the topic to start with. And then over the next 5 minutes, you get to, take the conversation in whatever direction you want it to go. But the point is for people to get talking to people they've never met before, to learn things about people and make connections without the sort of overarching agenda of searching for a specific job opening.
Nice. And so let's talk about some of those techniques for prepping as folks are looking to start a job search, or even just having the kind of initial itching of like, man, I'm ready to make a change. What do you recommend? I mean, aside from kind of perusing through the thousands of jobs listed on your site, how should people really structure the preparation for that search? Maybe before they even load up the website, what are some things you would recommend to get yourself prepared for that. I don't know if maybe, Taylor, you want to give us a few pointers.
Yeah, for sure. And that's such a great question. You know, over the course of the 3 years that we've been running the site, we've been noticing a lot of different things, and we find that our message becomes less and less about what individual jobs are available and more about the strategic elements of the job search. So what I have been realizing is that our job search has kind of gone the way of the soundbite culture. You know, everyone wants just a snippet. They want to get right to the point. And I kind of use the analogy that a lot of people approach job searching the same way they would as cramming for a test. So they want to know exactly what answers they need for that test because they want to be able to get a great grade on the test, which is the equivalent of being able to share that you have this awesome job with an incredible title and a great salary that at the end of the day might not leave you that fulfilled. And in the test scenario, you know, if a month from now you don't remember any of the things that you were supposed to be learning for the test, it wasn't a very good way of going about accomplishing that. And so what we want are for people to really think about these things and start to understand their career goals in a really, effective and strategic way. So this is part of it. It's not just going after the exact jobs or only talking to the explicit employers that you're interested in working with, but kind of taking a bird's eye view of the job search approach and understanding how these different interactions you have with different people can really help you learn about what you might be interested in. And chances are it'll take you down a much different path, but a much better path and a much more fulfilling path than if you just kind of had your eyes on the prize or what you thought might have been the prize earlier on.
Yeah, so a more holistic approach. Now,
yeah.
You know, when you guys launched the company, you came up with this name, you know, Good Food Jobs. And I'm curious, you know, what is the criteria for a good food job? And maybe can you tell us a little bit about how that maybe has shifted or maybe it hasn't shifted over the course of your business? You know, when folks are applying to post a position, how do you kind of make that determination? I don't know if Dorothy, maybe you want to give us a sense of.
Sure. We have an editorial policy on the site. We've tried to make it really clear up front to people using the site that we, Taylor and I specifically, have the jurisdiction to approve or not approve any job that we see come through our system. So when a person is posting a job, when they press the send button and check out with their transaction, their job doesn't appear on our site. It actually only appears in our system on the back end. And then Taylor and I look at it and determine whether or not it really is a good food job. It's usually a pretty quick thing to determine. Sometimes we do have to do a little bit of digging. But the editorial policy states that we're looking for companies that have a focus on either sustainability or food culture or both. And we chose the name Good Food Jobs because we wanted something that was specific but not too specific. We knew there was going to be a lot of gray area. We also knew in some ways that the things were always evolving. You know, what we had in mind for a Good Food Job might not be what comes through our system in the end. So we wanted to sort of keep it a little bit open, but we also want to make sure that people understand that this is a very thoughtful process, that we're looking at everybody who posts with us, and we really are vetting them and making sure that they align with our principles and our mission, which is the greater mission of the whole good food movement. So, so the editorial policy is really a key part of that.
Yeah, and so, Taylor, I'm curious, you know, one of the things we've been talking about at the studio a lot lately is wage levels, in particular wage levels in the food world. And I'm wondering, have you guys kind of taken a look at that, or what advice would you give to job seekers who, food employment in the food sector can often be lower paying than other sectors. And I think there's also a fair amount of postings for unpaid positions, especially for newer organizations in this movement. I mean, I know for us here at Heritage Radio Network, we depend pretty heavily on a team of interns. And it's something I really struggle with, is not being at a point with our organization to offer someone a paid position, and trying to find a trade-off between the experience and the access that we're going to be able to provide them. I wonder if you guys can comment a little bit on you know, wages in the food industry and what people should be expecting, and how you're preparing for them for that, and then strategies with regards to taking unpaid employment.
Yeah, for sure. Well, this is definitely an area of interest for us, and it's certainly not black and white. We definitely see it on a continuum. You know, we get a lot of correspondence from people who are different levels of enraged that we might be offering internships and apprenticeships on our website, because there is a huge issue of exploitation right now. And what we want to be really clear of is that, you know, we don't condone exploitation, and we certainly don't think that the era of, you know, free or very, very low wage labor is something that we expect people to do for a long time. At the same time, I think it's also important to note that there's so much opportunity in the food world right now, and there's opportunity to do a lot of real change. So the same way that we were talking about sort of the strategies behind how to get a job, we also talk a lot about the strategies for what your career path is going to be. And a lot of that is sort of realigning people's expectations to, okay, what type of job can you take for your first food job, and what can you expect from it, and how can you outline what you want to get out of it? Because at the end of the day, in order to address a lot of these you know, huge issues that are going on in the food system right now, we need a lot of creative thinkers. And what we're trying to do is rope people into it. And I think it's pretty unlikely that you'll come across, you know, your first food job that's going to be totally perfect and exactly, you know, what you want in terms of it being fulfilling and exactly what you want to do in the food world and also pay you a great wage and have all these awesome benefits. But I think that there's opportunity to get that way, and there's opportunities to build more and more of these positions. What we need are more people sort of gaining their 10,000 hours of experience. So we always say, you know, don't think about this first job as a dead end. Think about what sort of opportunities that job will afford you, and figure out what exactly you can afford. If you can afford to work for free and do an internship, to be working with the person that is doing what you do or doing what you want to be doing, then that's a really valuable experience, and it's less expensive than paying for education, too. So, you know, it definitely takes a keen eye to sort of look at every opportunity and to be able to say, you know, whether it is a good opportunity to move forward. But it's also, it's a job seeker's duty to make the most of every opportunity. So, you know, finding those opportunities that are out there and taking advantage of them is really important. And if anyone needs help with that along the way, or you know, needs some guidance for specific issues, we're always happy to help and to help look at the opportunities and help people, you know, figure out their strategic path.
Yeah, I think you bring up some great points. I know I myself throughout my 20s often felt like I was trading my, you know, wage, you know, putting off a wage earning position in exchange for an experience earning position, and had a really kind of clear idea of what type of skills I was looking to bring, you know, into my wheelhouse. But that definitely, it was a challenge over the years, but a fun and delicious challenge.
For sure.
I will say, you know, there is this other section of your website, and maybe Dorothy, if you want to tell us a little bit about it. It's a great space, I think, for people to go to find some inspiration and also some models of, you know, people working in the industry who have taken maybe conventional or less conventional paths, but are currently, you know, working in positions that I think a lot of job seekers in the food world might look at as kind of dream spots. And that's the gastronome section of the site. So can you tell us a little bit, Dorothy, about kind of the genesis of that and what are some of the things people can expect to find there?
Absolutely. When we launched the website in 2010, we launched the gastronomes blog at the same time. We put sort of equal effort into both the job listings and this blog because we knew that the blog, you know, one was sort of not going to stand without the other. The job listings are there to talk about, to show people what new opportunities are out there, and the blog is there to remind people about all the people who are working in food now and to help inspire people and to help answer questions about, well, you know, what is this process going to be like working in food? How am I going to get there? What are some of the challenges that I'm going to face? That's really what we try to answer with these blog interviews every week, and you'll see a lot of common threads, and we sometimes kind of marvel at how similar everyone's story can be and also how incredibly different. Even when it's like a similar industry and a similar background, there's always just something that's totally new and interesting to be inspired by. So we really use the blog as kind of a support for the message that we're sending with the site, which is that there are so many different jobs available in so many different arenas, and everybody takes a different pathway to get there. There's no one way to find your perfect job in food, and there's a lot of people out there who can tell you that it's hard work, but it's worth it.
Awesome. Well, ladies, thanks so much for joining us, and I encourage people to take advantage of some of the opportunities that are coming up at the end of this month, Friday, the 29th of March. Definitely get your tickets by visiting justfood.org, and you can find out more about Dorothy and Taylor's work and take a peek around the site, get inspired, check out jobs by visiting goodfoodjobs.com. Ladies, thanks so much for taking some time out to give us a little bit of an update.
Thank you, Erin. We'd love to see everybody next Friday.
Awesome. This, like all 30 of our live weekly shows, are available as a free download through iTunes. You can also find us on Stitcher Smart Radio. Of course, we hope you'll visit the website, www.heritageradionetwork.org. Check out all the great programming, click the donate tab, become a member today, and stay tuned in.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.